Welcome to They Mostly Pottered at Night. I am Salem, joined by my co-host Graveyard.
Hello.
This is episode 158. Yes, that's 158 of our weekly All Things Horror podcast. So we reached the end of the Friday the 13th franchise journey this week. Jason and his mother have rampaged their way through the woods around Camp Crystal Lake and even somehow to Manhattan and even space. But there is always another final Friday. So join us for the finale of the franchise with space, some massive fan service, and a reboot. Mm-hmm. So yes, that's Jason X, Freddy vs. Jason, and Friday the 13th, the reboot.
Hey, you know, at least with the 2009 one, they came back to the actual title.
Right. But yeah, nothing else. So it's the same name as the original. I hate when they do that. It's like, do you like it, Origins or something? I don't know. Or name it something like Friday the 13th reboot or something. Just so you know what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, Jason X, Freddy vs. Jason, Friday the 13th, the 2009 reboot. So we will start off with everybody's favorite, Jason X, which is, I don't know, it's kind of weird in the timeline here because it starts off at kind of sort of around our present, but the only clue we're given is the what year it is in the beginning of the film is that later on in the film they say that the cryogenic thing that he was frozen in was built in 2010.
Yes.
So we know it's sometime after 2010, mm-hmm. which means that all these other movies happen before this one does.
Yeah. And based off my notes, as you know, I've been keeping track of times, that actually still checks out somehow.
Yeah. Again, they never tell you how long the things are happening for. So it may be a year, it may be a decade. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah. So basically, beginning is, you know, Jason murdering people as he does. He gets somehow captured and put in a warehouse with chains and stuff holding him down.
And they never explain how they capture him.
No, they don't. But we do at least get a reason as to why they are doing that. Yeah. And it's because they're trying to, like, because he's like a murder machine that can't be killed, they're like, hey, let's check out his blood and see why he can't be killed. Maybe we can like do something medical with that. Mm-hmm. So they put him in a warehouse, you know, chained up with an armed guard. And of course, you know, as Jason does, he gets out and he murder people and then, you know, murder some more people down a hallway. And then finally chases the final woman of this era, right? Into a cryogenic chamber where she manages to trick him into the cryogenic chamber and then goes to the glass to kind of rub it in his face. And he stabs her through the entire cryogenic machine,
which should be pretty damn thick.
Right. I mean, I don't think a machete. I mean, the machetes are not made to last.
No.
So I don't think they would have the strength to do that. But again, this is murder machine Jason that never dies. So again, machete, I guess, longevity is kind of out the window. It doesn't matter. So because he stabbed through the cryogenic machine, he does get frozen in the machine, but the woman in that room also freezes, mm-hmm. and the entire room freezes. So obviously this thing was cranked up with some power to be able to cryogenically freeze an entire room. And then apparently no one checked in on these people ever.
No, it was just the seven people in that room that knew
right.
what was going on.
Yeah, and then so no one else knew what was happening and nobody else checked on them or saw anything in approximately, 400 years?
Mm-hmm.
So 400 years later, a salvage team finds this cryogenic room. They open it up. They find Jason. They find the girl. So they capture them and bring them on board their spaceship, and then they proceed to try to thaw them out. Jason, they're sure, is like super dead. But the girl, they're like, oh yeah, she was frozen when she was still alive, so we can like save her. So, you know, some bad CGI later, and she gets revived with like nano machines. Yes. And she's like immediately like, where's Jason? And they're like, oh, he's, you know, he's dead in the other room. And the other, and the captain of the ship is like somehow trying to sell Jason's body for money.
Because the person he calls, even 400 years later, they know who Jason Voorhees is.
Right, yeah. Yeah, some dude knows who Jason Voorhees is. Like, yeah, his body's worth something to a collector.
Yep.
So he's like, oh, sweet, I'm going to make some money on this deal. And of course, as we all know, Jason is going to, as soon as he gets unfrozen, he's going to come back to life and start murdering people. And hey, wouldn't you know, that's what he does. He starts murdering. Yeah, he starts. Right. He starts murdering his way through the spaceship. I mean, we have like space marines like trying to fight him, and he's just killing all of them. He kills people playing video games. He kills just random. He runs through the ship doing his normal murder machine type stuff. Eventually, it gets to the point where there's only a few people left, one of which is, of course, an android, because this is a space movie, right? Yeah. It's got to be a robot. So they manage to hail another ship that's supposed to come and pick them up, because their ship is now going to blow up because they crashed into a space station or something.
And destroy it, killed.
Right.
How many thousands?
Right. Yeah. So it's, yeah, they're all stuck on there. The ship is like exploding and whatever. The ship comes to get them. And like, I don't know, how many sacrifices does it take to get onto the ship? Like the android sacrifices herself like twice. The one like head marine dude sacrifices himself.
He does it like three times.
Right. I was going to say, like, he does it once and then he comes back. He does it again. Like, yeah, it's never ending.
Yeah.
So yeah, he finally dies, and then Jason explodes or whatever. And then somehow, even after he explodes, he still gets onto the ship. Yeah. Again, The head dude like blocked him like three times, but somehow he still gets on anyway. But he's dead. You know, he's only got like, you know, they rip off one of his arms and one of his legs, and he's all, and he's very dead. And so they knock him into, of course, the medical table, and then leave him there.
Yes. As good medical cables go, they automatically, sporadically turn on.
Right. Yeah. Whatever. As it's like, the bed is broken on the ground.
Yep.
And it still somehow functions. Yep. So, yeah, it goes, oh, Jason is, you know, can be repaired. Oh, he's missing a whole bunch of stuff. Let's just make him a cyborg robot murder machine, including a metal mask somehow.
Hey, the nanobots were that smart. They're like, you know what? The mask is part of his DNA.
Right. You're like, you know what? This guy really likes masks. We're going to give him a nice mask. So, yeah, he becomes like a cyborg super soldier murder machine. And then starts, you know, murdering more people. So then
at least he has two functional eyes for the very first time.
Right. And then, so they're like, yeah, we got to get off this ship again. So a couple more sacrifices later, they're about to get off the ship. They do somehow trap him in a virtual reality simulation of like the 1980 Camp Crystal Lake with like, you know, complete with naked teenage girls. I only bring it up because a lot of people always mention that part.
Well, I think they're trying to they tried to redo the justice of the neutered sleeping bag scene.
Right. Yeah, so yeah, again, he murders his way through the virtual reality thing. He somehow sees through the illusion and sees the woman, you know, that was in the cryogenically frozen stuff through like the one-way glass somehow. And it snaps him out of the virtual reality thing, you know, fight. And then they somehow explode him and get away.
Yes.
And that's it. I don't know if there's anything else.
Now without the guy coming, the space marine leader coming back and body slamming into orbit of Earth 2, and he goes, his mask falls to the bottom of the lake.
Right.
Setting up a sequel that never comes.
Right. Yet.
Yeah. Correct. Yet. And hopefully never again.
I don't know.
We'll see.
This one's more fun than some of the other ones were.
Yeah.
For me, it's more fun than a lot of these other ones.
What's really interesting about Jason X is if you ask anyone what their guilty pleasure horror movies, a lot of people say this movie.
I don't know about a guilty pleasure. It's just, if you're watching the franchise, this is fun. Because you're like, the last three of these are so fucking bad. And it's like, wow, you finally get one that, like, yeah, it's cheesy, yeah, it's stupid, but at least it did something different and something interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, I will say that.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first Friday the 13th I saw in theaters. Was this?
I don't think I've ever seen any of them in the theaters.
Yeah, I saw all three of these in theaters that we're reviewing. So,
I'm sorry.
Well, I enjoyed a couple of them. The rewatches, maybe not as much the first time, but do you recall when you saw this? I mean, you were already off the Friday the 13th boat, really, at this point in time.
I was, I was never really on it. I've never really been a fan of this franchise. I'm not hiding that fact. It never really did anything. Like, the first one was okay. Yeah. The second one was meh. And then after that, I just didn't care. And like I said, I tried watching the whole franchise once and I got to like four and I'm like, I can't do it. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah. But I know you've seen this one before.
Yeah. This one I definitely have. Yeah.
But was it, do you think it was close to of it coming out on like home release, or was it like years later?
Wow, I don't know. I want to say it was probably like on HBO or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure. I don't think I actually spent money to rent it. And if I did, it was like somebody else rented it and I watched it at their house or something.
Yeah,
but yeah, I wouldn't have spent my own money on this film for sure.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that you just put on. You would put on at a party. If you're going to put on Friday the 13th, it's either going to be the original or this one, quite honestly.
Right.
So, do you want to do your highlights first?
Hey, sure, why not? David Cronenberg is in this movie.
He is.
For like a minute, but he's still technically in it.
Yep.
I appreciated that there was a realistic reason why they captured him. You know what I mean? Like, okay. I mean, that kind of sort of makes sense. I wouldn't really keep a murder machine chained up, but like, at least it makes kind of sense. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I did appreciate the space and the sci-fi elements. Those are fun. The android fun. I mean, cheesy as hell, but still fun.
Hey, she just wants nipples.
And I will say the practical effects in this movie were fun. They were pretty good.
When they were there.
Right. Yeah. I've already said they had some bad CGI, and that'll be on the other side. Mm-hmm. And again, there's better continuity in this film than there is in, like, I don't know, the last five or six of them.
Mm-hmm.
But, there's of course, goofy parts in fucking space and, shit like that with androids and all that kind of stuff, but at least it like follows its own rules, which okay, at least it does more than the rest of it. There's no wacky mind powers or fucking whatever ghost people coming out of the lakes and stuff. There's none of that. It's just murder machine in the future. That's all it is.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah, for me, it's 2010-ish to 2040. 2455, and they go, she's been frozen 450 years. Your math's a little bit off there, but close. Maybe space math is different. I don't know. But
maybe they don't know what year it is.
Yeah, that's true. As you said, Cronenberg, I think the title was interesting the way they did it. Honestly, the best kill is the freezing of the face in the cryo.
Yeah, you think so?
Of the kills, yeah, it's definitely the best kill. I think that everything was fine until he's awoken by premarital sex. That was just it's a laugh right there. And as you said, they play by their own rules, but it's really funny because this is the first time that him coming back to life actually makes sense. It's nanites. Like,
well, the first time he comes back, it is not explained.
Yeah.
But like when he comes back the second time after he's killed in this movie, yes.
Right, right. Like that actually makes sense of why he is able to recover from it. All the other times, it generally doesn't make sense. So I do appreciate it. That Nanites make sense. That's all I have. I'll roll into my low points. Bad CGI is really bad. Like, I remember seeing this in theaters, and it was bad for 2001 as well.
Oh, yeah. No, it's bad all around. And, you know, and I always say, you know, people are like, oh, it's early 2000s. CGI wasn't that good back then. It's like, dude, Jurassic Park was already out.
For 9 years.
Right. I was like, Jurassic Park was out for a while at this point. You cannot tell me that CGI was not good at this point. It's like they did not try.
Well, what's really interesting is they have like really bad CGI of like the guy spinning on the corks or whatever that you want to call it there. But then they show it practical after that. Like,
right.
Well, you were able to do practical. Why didn't you just do practical?
Right. Yeah. I was very confused. It's like the practical is actually good.
Right.
And the CGI is atrocious.
Yeah. And I couldn't determine if this reminds me more of Cleopatra was it 2055 or Lex. it is that like cheesy Canadian sci-fi late 90s MTV or sci-fi show feel to it.
I'll give you that.
Except with nudity. Very little cussing though, which is surprising.
Well, there's not that much nudity either, but
yeah. Once again, I said, I really wish I knew how they captured Jason and why they thought one guard would ever be enough. Like, what did they do? Because they've tried, you know, like, oh, we tried electrocuting, we tried lethal injection, but they captured him. Like, how? Like, I've never really seen Jason be capturable.
They probably just put, like, you know, like a naked teenager under a box. And then when he went under the box to kill a teenager, they just pulled the stick and then he got stuck in a box.
Maybe. Yeah. And the guy that the teacher calls, that wouldn't be Jason Voorhees, would it? I'm not sure we know all the people that may have killed people 400 years ago, but I'm not sure they would really know it at that point in time.
Well, again, how the fuck would the dude know his last name?
Right.
Is it Jason Voorhees? He's like, yeah. Like, how do you know that? He's not wearing, he doesn't have a wallet with an ID in it.
Right. It's interesting, like the old, like when they went to that cryovac facility, when this desolate earth, it's like the only building left standing.
Right.
It's just bizarre. And like I said, nanobots or nanites recreating his mask. Why? I don't know. I don't know if they implying that the mask is his DNA at this point. Who knows? It just makes no sense that they would just make an entire mask. Like, partial face, sure, I would see that. His half his head was gone, but not his entire mask. But at least they fixed his bad eye. So,
yeah, small favors.
That's what I got. How about you?
Hockey players are breaking the law, man. Because hockey was outlawed in 2024.
That is true.
So that's been an entire year of hockey players breaking the law. Now, I understand it's a horror film, and of course there's got to be scantily clad women, you know, that's part of the deal. But, like, they're supposed to be, like, working in a lab, and they're, like, hardly wearing any clothes at all.
It's the there's future. Like, everything's hotter.
Right. I'm just like, the dudes are still wearing normal clothes, but the women are wearing, like, nothing. And I'm like...
corsets?
Yeah. I'm like, don't you wear a lab coat or like some kind of protection? Like, you're dealing with like cryogenic shit, like nanites. You don't want to be like put bare skin on everything.
No. I was just like, just to the underboob.
Right. I was just like, this is very confusing to me. I mean, I guess I was expecting too much out of a future Jason movie, but you know, I was just like, what the fuck are these people wearing? But it's like all of them, every single one of them. And again, the CGI was terrible. The fucking space stoner, like, come on, dude. He's supposed to be, again, working in a fucking lab, and the guy's like getting high and playing video games. Like, how the fuck did this guy even get here?
That's a great question.
Okay. Yeah. So they talked about the Microsoft Wars, which I thought was fucking cool. I'm like, yeah, we should have some Microsoft Wars. I'll fight Microsoft. I hate Microsoft. and then okay. They're shooting bullets that can like blow holes in walls and like knock him through walls and shit like that. Like, aren't you afraid of putting a hole in the hull of the ship?
I mean, you'd think so, but, you know, Solaris, you know, if something gently breezed on it, it would blow up. Their ship is, like, indestructible, though, so.
I'm just saying, like, she shot through the wall and kicked him through the wall that she shot holes in. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, how is this not going through the hull in some way? Like, this movie, in reality, would be very short. As soon as they started shooting, it would just hull breach and everybody would get sucked through a tiny hole and die.
Yeah, you think they have like tasers or phasers or something?
Frangible rounds that don't pierce stuff, but
dissipate on metal.
Right, something. And then, of course, the ridiculous android action was. Again, she's the only one that really gets to use her gun. In this film, like, all the Marines just like die before they can do anything at all. But yeah, she shoots like a lot of guns a lot of times.
Hey, and she was cool and turned it sideways once.
Yeah, and she was, but yeah, it was fucking ridiculous. She was like spouting one liners like the whole time. I'm like, you're a fucking robot. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all I got.
All right.
So. I guess we'll still do Barnyard Weapons. There's not really any Barnyard Weapons in any of these movies, but that's what we're doing, and I'm sticking with
it. Yeah, we usually stick it with the same, when it's the same franchise, we generally stick with the same olives.
Yeah. So, Graveyard, what would you give Jason X?
This is a hard one to place for me. Because, I'm looking back over stuff, and do I like it better than Jason Goes to Hell? Is really the question it comes down to. I don't know. I kind of have to be in the mood to watch Jason X, quite honestly. So, is it better than Goes to Hell? Yeah. Is it ever so slightly? So, I will give it 2.5 Barnyard Weapons out of 10. How about you?
You know, again, I like this one a lot more than I liked a lot of the other ones. I'll give it a 5.
Wow.
5 Barnyard Weapons out of 10.
That's your highest one sometime.
Well, yeah. Like, again, it's like after watching like 6 terrible fucking movies. This one is also terrible, but not as terrible. So it gets heavily weighted.
Yeah. Well, I think the sci-fi helps a lot for you.
For me, yes.
A lot of heavy lifting.
Yes, it does. It for sure does. Because I love terrible sci-fi movies, and this technically qualifies. So.
That it does.
All right. So now we fast forward to 2003 and get the fucking fan service horseshit that we call Freddy vs. Jason. Take it away.
Oh, I may have nostalgia for this movie. So...
Well, I'm not shocked at all that you would enjoy this film.
Yeah.
Not saying anything negative about it. I'm just saying, like, you like the fan service type stuff.
Well, yeah, we'll get into it. But yeah, 2003, and it's technically 2003-ish in this timeline. If we say the timeline continues, so this takes place before Jason X, and really even Jason Goes to Hell, quite honestly. But yeah, so essentially, let's call it what it is. It's a Nightmare on Elm Street movie above anything else. It really is. Essentially, the children of Elm Street in the town of Springwood, Ohio, forgot who Freddy Krueger is, so he's mad. So he finds Jason in hell and sends him on the rampage to start killing people to make in Springwood, Ohio, and on Elm Street to make people remember who he is. It's only been, as they said, a couple of years since Freddy. Essentially, I think they said 4 years since last sighting of Freddy.
Right. Yeah, I have a lot to say on that, but we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. So essentially that's happening. So he wakes up, pretends to be, you know, Jason's mother, sends him over there to wake up. He just wakes up, you know, and this is why I'd say canonically it could be anywhere, because he travels there. Who knows how long it takes for him to get there from New Jersey to Ohio. Maybe he just teleported. Who knows? He didn't kill anyone along the way. You think there'd be like a body trail from New Jersey to Ohio?
He probably just hitchhiked. Yeah, he hitchhiked there.
Yeah. But he's tall and blue now. And so all these murders start happening. You know, go to the main girl's house. People are boning. Guy gets like stabbed and bent up in the bed. And people are like, oh man, this is just like Jason. Or this is happening again. Is it Freddy Krueger, as the cops say out loud, which they didn't want anyone to know? And they're like, wait a minute, Freddy Krueger. And then they say his name and he starts getting power. They're like, okay, saying, knowing his name and remembering him, I think, are very different things. But anyway,
we'll talk about
it. Yeah. So anyway, that's happening. Jason starts killing and more, because he's just a rabid dog that can't get put down. And the same rules apply. Nightmare Elm Street is here. They realize, like, hey, maybe if we bring Freddy into the real world, we'll make him fight each other, because we can't stop this guy and we can't go to sleep. Oh, by the way, this chick's ex-boyfriend from when she was 14 is in essentially the clinic from Dream Warriors and is on Hypnocell. And it's like, oh man, we gotta get Hypnocell. And like, oh great, let's bring him to the real world. All stuff while it's happening, Jason's killing. He's essentially killing people and stealing the kills from Freddy. So Freddy's getting really pissed off. You know, essentially inhabits the stoner and then knocks Jason out for him to go sleepies to dream, so he can start beating him up and realizing that he's afraid of water for some reason, as he's never been before, except
we'll talk about it.
Jason takes Manhattan. So anyway, like, oh man, this is happening, and like, oh, we gotta save him, we gotta bring him back to Crystal Lake. So they start driving there, they pull Freddy out of the dream world into the real world so we can have the epic showdown of Freddy versus Jason. And they just start beating the shit out of each other, like stabbing multiple times, you know, canisters. It's kind of going back and forth, because let's call it what it is, no studio wants their villain to be dead forever or to lose. So, you know, essentially three fights, they take it, all the while people still dying there's left. So we're left with the final girl, her boyfriend, and then they're trying to fight, and, you know, they're slashing each other. Freddy's arm gets ripped off. He stabs, you know, Jason with his own machete, and essentially they kill each other at close to the same time. But Freddy comes out, and then, you know, the main girl chops off his head, and then everything's okay. Jason comes out of the lake, healed, because he's in his lake, carrying Freddy's head, who winks at the camera, laughs, and the movie.
Yeah,
that's about it. I said I distinctly remember seeing this in theaters. I remember getting the tickets. I was having their garage sale, and I'm like, you know, I just read the Freddy vs. Jason's out. Hell yeah, I'm gonna go see it. I was not disappointed when I saw it at that point in time, as I was still huge on my Freddy kick. I watch this probably every other year. I don't know. You said you didn't see it in theaters. Do you remember when you saw this, though?
I don't know. I don't remember. It was, I think somebody made me watch it. I was at somebody's house, and they're like, oh, it's so good, you gotta watch it.
I mean, it was about the same time-ish as AVP, right?
The first one?
Yeah.
Sure.
So, you know,
that one I went and saw in the theater.
I saw that in theaters too. Yes.
Is that, that's good. This not good.
Yeah. But I don't know. What were your first thoughts when you saw this, if you recall?
I didn't like it then. I don't like it now. And I just thought it's just like fan service horseshit. Like, I don't know. I just not a fan.
Yeah, it is. You know, like I said, it was teed up and Jason Goes to Hell to have this rematch, and people have always asked what it would look like, just like people always asked what Alien versus Predator would do, and we finally got it in the early 2000s, for better or for worse.
Well, the reason why they talk about that is because they're owned by the same company. Mm-hmm. And Predator 2 directly showed that it's in the same world that the aliens are.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a proven fact that even before they crossed over that they were in the same world.
Right.
Now this is just like, you know, horror fans are like, oh, Freddy Mercer needs to fight Jason. And then, you know, they made a movie because people kept asking for it. But like, they were not in the same world until the end of 9.
Correct. Correct. Now, Jason and what was supposed to be the sequel to this, Evil Dead, were in the same universe because of 9. And there was talks for many years about the sequel being Freddy versus Jason versus Ash. But New Line Cinema goes, well, Ash can't win. We don't want him to kill Freddy or Jason. I go, but Ash isn't a bad guy. He's a good guy. Why would he not win?
And it was, well, and again, why are they worried about it? Because they killed them all the time.
Right.
And they just come back. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, so that put a damper on everything. Eventually, I think Dark Horse made Freddy versus Jason versus Ash 2 6-issue comics. And they were even going to continue. It was going to end originally with Pinhead showing up. And it was going to be Freddy versus Jason versus Pinhead. They're supposed to build this huge universe. And no one wanted to play nicely with each other. So it never.
I'm glad.
So, I mean, I'm not. But I wish I catch my Freddy versus Jason versus Ash comics because they're worth hundreds now. It's hard to find. Yeah, so. But I'll start with my highlights. Robert Englund, I think, you know, he went pretty cheesy in the last few Nightmare on Elm Street, and I think this was like a great outing of him for his last film.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing that I always say is that Freddy was always like a one-liner guy since the first movie. So yeah, it got a little more cheesy and more hammy, but it was just an exaggeration of what he was. You know what I mean? Like, Jason became this, like, you know, unkillable murder machine, just like Michael Myers. Like, to me, they're like the same character. I don't understand why people like one over the other, because they're the same fucking character.
They are.
Literally the same. I mean, the only Jason is upset that his mama died. Michael killed his sister. That's it.
Yep.
Otherwise, they wear the same fucking shit. One wears a mask. One wears a hockey mask. Right. That's it. One is a kitchen knife. One is a machete. Other than that, they're the exact same.
Yeah. Yeah. But like I said, I think Freddy was meant to... Yes, he has one-liners and stuff like that, but he was back to, like, I'd say more of his first couple outings as Freddy, not his video game slapstick cartoonish, you know, Wizard of Oz crap.
I don't know. There's some of that going
on. But it's not as egregious. How about that?
Oh, the first half, sure.
Yeah. I think that this is way better than Alien vs. Predator Requiem.
That's not a high bar.
I know. But I thought this was a good step in the right direction of what Versus could be. But that, like I said, that's my opinion. You know, and they kind of go over the history of both of them without necessarily being, you know, a trailer, essentially, that we got with what number 4 was that?
All of them.
Yeah. And then, of course, the soundtrack. I love the soundtrack to this. It introduced me to a lot of these bands on the soundtrack, so I still have it. I still listen to it.
I'm sorry.
So I learned about El Nino and Spine Shift.
God, I fucking hate all these early 2000s new metal shit. Sorry.
It's all right. Those are my highlights. How about yours?
Yeah, I agree. Robert Englund is great. And it's great that he stuck with it for as long as he did. You know, like... Mm-hmm. How many fucking Nightmare on Elm Streets? And it was always Robert Englund. Like,
yeah.
He played him for like multiple decades. And yeah, and he's still great, you know. And even in this one, they even had him with no makeup on, and, you know, and it was still great. Yeah. The cornfield party was fun.
With right? discount Spire 1 from Power Man.
Yeah. I was like, I'd go to a cornfield party. Mm-hmm. And I, yeah, like I said, a couple of Freddy's one-liners were funny. Some of them were like dumb as shit, but I think like the one where he pops up and cuts the chick's nose off and goes, got your nose. Like that was funny. That made me laugh. But most of them are just bad. And I guess it's always been that way, but more misses than hits, I would say. That's all I got for high points. So let's go to low points here. The low points, number one, Freddy gets a fucking supercut flashback with like scenes from all these films and shit, right?
Yep.
We go to Jason. What does he get? He gets one scene, one new scene that they act out, like no supercut, no footage of any of his previous films whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So like, did they run out of fucking money? they couldn't buy clips from his previous films or something. Like, it's weird that they do it for one and not for the other.
I mean, yeah, that's true.
Okay. Number two, everybody forgot about Freddy. Oh, wait, except for the cops. Oh, wait, except for the parents of the kids. Oh, wait. What about the other fucking teenager? Like, everybody fucking knows Freddy is still there. What is he talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, everybody forgot about me. No, no one forgot about you. The only people that forgot it, like, didn't know about you. There's it. You're like, of course there's going to be people that don't know about you, but, like, there's still plenty that know who you are. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, they were taking drugs to, like, prevent them from dreaming, but, like, they still know who you are. And if that's truly what gives you power, then you should have been just as powerful as you were before. Like, there's no, at no point does it make sense that he was forgotten and lost his power. I know it's like a cheap way to, you know, say why Freddy and Jason get together, but like they could have done better than that.
To me, it felt like they're saying, you know, Jason just had a movie, but it's been 10 years since my last one. So people don't remember Freddy in the room is my best guess at that inside joke.
I don't think it, like everybody knows who Freddy is, especially somebody that's going to go watch Freddy versus Jason. Of course they fucking know who Freddy is.
Yeah.
It's dumb as shit. And again, like none of his other films did he need people to believe in him. And in fact, most of, you know, a lot of the films that he had, nobody knew who he was and they had to find out.
Right.
So how the fuck does he now all of a sudden need everyone to believe in him? Like he's fucking Santa Claus. Like, unless a certain amount of people believe in him, he fucking has no power. It's dumb fucking shit. Just annoying. Sexual assault by the glow stick kid? That's not cool.
Correct.
Like, wow, man. Like, there's plenty of people at the fucking cornfield party. Why are you, like, trying to assault someone in the corn? Like, please stop. Mm-hmm. I know you dig it, but I do not. The early 2000s style and music, bad. Not good. What kind of dumbass name is Hypnosil?
that was the name of it in number three. So
I'm just saying that's fucking stupid. And the whole point of it was fucking stupid. You cannot prevent dreams from happening. It's just not a thing you can do. And if you did, they'd probably be dead in a couple of weeks because like your brain needs to dream to sort its fucking shit out.
It's like a reset.
Right. And like if you don't dream, you'll like, yeah, the people in a coma because they're not dreaming. That makes sense to me. But like these other kids like, oh, it's been years and I haven't dreamt at all. Like, bullshit.
I can see them not remembering their dreams.
Right. And again, but like, no, you don't dream at all. Like how are you going to fucking control that?
Hey, the FDA didn't approve it. So, yeah.
Yeah. The CGI was fucking atrocious. Did not like it at all. Now, when we get to the actual fucking fight between Freddy and Jason, like the first fight when they're in the dream world is fucking horrible. Like there's literally fucking pinball sounds and like wacky fucking Looney Tunes fucking sound effects and shit happening. It's the biggest fan service pile of shit. Like it's terrible. I mean, I know people were probably standing up and cheering in the fucking theater, but like I hate this kind of shit. It just, no, thank you. Again, how the fuck is Jason afraid of water now? Like multiple films, he's like come from under the water to grab people. Like, yeah, he was technically like chained to the lake, so he couldn't get out, but he had no weakness or fear of the water. You know, like we had that weird fucking thing in Manhattan where like he somehow turned into a child when touched with sewer water. But like earlier in the film, he was swimming in the ocean and he was fine. Mm-hmm. Like he was, I don't know. Again, we don't have to go back to that movie, how dumbass it was. But like this one, like, oh yeah, he's afraid of water. He's paralyzed and he can't move because he's afraid of water. Like what?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about? Again, they're not sticking with like, there's continuity. At least that is sign of, you know, some kind of continuity. Again, they did the same thing with Freddy and Jason. It's like they have so many films you could have pulled so many different things from, and instead they make up their own shit. Like they look the same, but they're essentially different characters.
Yeah, between them, like 17 movies.
Right. Right. That's plenty to pull off of. You know who these people are. You got all these storylines you could pull shit from. And instead they like make up shit that never happened in all the other fucking films. Like, why do they have to put it in this one? And I know people that watch this fucking movie are not watching it for the fucking plot, but like I do, cause I have to, and there is none. It just doesn't make any fucking sense. Like if you are truly fans of either one of these franchises, you should hate this film, but no one does. Now, this is just dumb as shit. Like she lays down to dream, but since she lays her head next to Jason, somehow she can get in his dreams.
Yeah.
Like absolutely nowhere in the rest of this film do they say you can join together in dreams. And then all of a sudden they're just like, oh yeah, part of our whole plan is I have to get into Jason's dream and pull him out. Like who came up with that plan? how does that make any sense? It doesn't make any sense at all. And then they're trying to keep him asleep. Like, why don't you just let him wake up? Like, what's the point? I mean, I know you want the murder machine to like stay asleep until you get to where you're going, but like, why are you going into his dreams at all?
Right.
I know they're trying to set up the ending of like, oh, he's scared of water, but they failed.
Oh, it's all just set up for the ending.
Yeah, and again, like the there's some bad lines in this film, like, you know, throwing around dark meat when he's trying to fight the black chick, like using the F word, the F-U-C-K word, the other one I'm not gonna say. It just kind of cringy, man. It's like, why you need to say that shit in this movie? Like none of the other movies you say that kind of shit. Why are they bringing it up in this one? Like they're deliberately trying to make people hate him. I don't understand that. And then in the final fight with Freddy and Jason, like, I don't know who was setting up the blood squirters under their clothes, but they should not have another film like to work on at all. Like they were horrible. They were squirting in like all different directions. They would literally look like squirt guns, like squirting black water. It was horrible, and like every time they even touched each other, it was like whoosh, like fucking black water spraying everywhere. It was just stupid. That's all I'm gonna say. That's all. There's more I could go on about, but that's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah. Kind of like my little points here is like, you know the two guys get out of the mental ward, right? Where do they get their clothes? They just get clothes. Like the guys like clearly both put in there. Like, wouldn't the parents be questioning like why their kids are out? What happened to them? It's just weird they just got new clothes. I do not like Jason's look. Period.
Well, they just made him Michael Myers essentially in this one.
But he's like blue skinned and stuff like that. I'm like, you just had fucking Kane hired 2 years ago. And really, people want to see Robert Englund versus Kane Hodder. We don't even get Kane Hodder in this movie, which we really should have.
What? But Kane Hodder was only in 3 shitty movies.
4.
Like, he's not the original. He's not the only guy.
No, but he was the most played.
Oh, yeah, because everyone else did it once.
Yeah. I'm going to call him Discount Jason Mewes.
Which one?
the stoner stoner that gets like,
yeah, which one?
The caterpillar down his throat. Yeah. The CGI blood is really bad CGI blood. I am a firm believer that most blood at CGI is never going to look good, as good as it can be on set. Never like that. As you said, him being afraid of water makes zero sense. We've been saying for the past, you know, 10 of these movies why he would ever be afraid of it. He's literally able to like be a dolphin and jettison himself out of the water with ease.
Right. Well, again, as we've reviewed all the rest of these films, I've always made sure to say that he was in the water. He was doing things in the water. He's not afraid of the water in any way. Mm-hmm. Again, because I had already seen this film, and they make a big point of how much he's scared of water. And so I made a point of all the other films that we watched where he was in water. Like, see, there's nothing about water that scares him.
Right. I think they just need something for him to be afraid of, just for Freddy to have this.
How about his mom? Yeah. They had his mom. What's the point of the water?
Right.
Just have his mom tell him not to move or something. Problem solved.
Or hey, you did good. Stop killing Jason.
Right. Or like, it's a fucking dream. Make him into a little kid. Make him so that he never got fucking drowned.
Yeah.
And all the camp kids actually liked him.
Yep.
That would be a dream that I could see him getting stuck in. That makes sense to me. Him, yeah, like, oh, he's underwater. What? He fucking lived underwater for years. How is that supposed to scare him?
Like 15 years, I think, in the timeline.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, anybody who watched the entire franchise could have come up with a better idea than that. I seriously think that the people who made this film just knew who Freddy and Jason were and just ran with that. Like, it seems like the information that they had about their franchises was like word of mouth. Like, they didn't actually watch them. They just had other people explain them to them, and then they just kind of went from there.
That's possible. Or they only watched like one movie of each, and that was, they watched Takes Manhattan.
Yeah, they watched like the last one.
Right. I'm trying to who was this written by Mark Swift and Damian Shannon. They both wrote the next one of Friday the 13th. They wrote the Baywatch movie.
Yeah, there you go. That makes sense.
And hey, look at that. That's it.
Right. Like, to me, if you are a true horror fan, if you are a fan of either of these franchises, you should hate this fucking movie. This movie makes a fucking joke out of you and your franchise and your fandom. And yet people fucking love it. They stand up and fucking clap for it. It's so great because it's two people fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's like that. You tell me this is your favorite movie or whatever, and again, I will tell you, then you're not a fan of the franchises.
Yeah. Listen, I know this movie's bad, but I love it.
You can love it. That's my opinion.
Directed by Ronnie Yu. Huh. All right. It's in the sequel bait. I think it could have been better. I don't think the sequel could have been worse than AVP Requiem. We'll never know.
You know, AVP Requiem, as bad as it was, it had some cool stuff in it. It had some ridiculous shit in it, but it had some cool stuff. Like, the Predator side of that was pretty cool.
Alien side was atrocious.
Yes. The Alien side is atrocious. Yeah, that's like they never watched an Alien film before.
Correct.
But the Predator stuff was kind of cool.
I don't think they even watched the first AVP when they made Requiem.
No, I'm pretty sure they didn't. Again, it's just a word of mouth. Yeah, I can run with that.
Yep. So, all right. So, Salem, how many Barnyard Weapons out of 10 do you give Freddy vs. Jason from 2003?
0.07.
Wow.
I don't like this movie at all.
And this might be one of our biggest. That's not gonna be our biggest spread. If I took nostalgia out of this, I took the soundtrack out of this, so I took it for what it was as a movie, and that's what I have to go with. I'll give this 5.5. I've taken away all the biases I have of it to make it that low. All right. So, canonically, now we'll be here with 2009, Friday the 13th. Take it away.
Yeah. So, well, there's a lot of like setup to this one.
An entire murder spree happens before the title card.
Right. Right. So, yeah, like there's a bunch of kids, you know, they go to the woods. They're like looking for weed, like that grows wild in the woods, or maybe they planted it earlier. Who knows? But they essentially all get murdered in Jason style, right? You know, we get a sleeping bag kill. We get, you know, stoner kid kill. We get kids having sex killed, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like a speed run.
Yes.
in the beginning of it. So we get a speed run, we get the title card, and then we start the actual film because all those kids die. Well, I should say all but one, but we're led to believe that all of them were dead.
Correct. We see all of them die on stream except for one, but
right. But it like, yeah, that's like literally like the machete is like heading towards her head and then it cuts away. So it's like, we assume that they're all dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then it cuts to, I don't know, rich blonde asshole. I mean, there's always that guy in all those films. So rich blonde asshole. And it's like,
if you say his name, Trent, you can know what, you know, well, everyone knows a Trent.
Yeah. So he's like driving his fucking mom's Escalade with like, and we got all the fucking stereotypical, you know, people traveling with them. We have the fucking stoner kid, the fucking, you know, virgin kid. We got the fucking chick that's a, you know, just like a sex robot essentially. Yep. And then of course we have like, you know, goody two shoes girl, which is weird because she's like dating Trent.
Which you they would never, if you watch the rest of this movie, you think there's no
right way. That's what I'm the,
lot,
I had to,
they do a lot of things that question their
I was like thinking about it. I'm like, are they actually dating? Like they act more like their brother and sister.
She doesn't get very upset when he's boning the other
child. No, like at all. Like no. Not at all. Like she no. just walks away like, all right.
Yeah.
I was very confused about the relationship. But anyway. So yeah, they're all like, you know, at the gas station doing wacky hijinks. And there's a guy that comes in looking for his sister, who was the one girl that we literally saw the machete cut away from her head. We didn't see her actually die, but we assume that she's dead. He's looking for her. He's got the have you seen me signs, blah, blah. Fucking rich blonde asshole is an asshole to him for absolutely no reason, because that's what he does.
Hey, he was standing in line asking questions. So they're trying to buy stuff.
Right.
Dick.
What a jerk. So we get scenes of them going to his dad's cabin in the woods, and they're just like doing party kid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a scenes of the brother going to house, like looking for what's going on. We get a couple of people like, oh yeah, people disappear in these woods all the time, you know, but they won't give him any information about it. You know, like, oh, maybe he got him. And he's like, who is he? Just close the door, blah, blah. He finally gets like a hillbilly dude who gives us hell of a foreshadowing. Like, I don't know. You'd have to be hit over the head with a fucking frying pan to not see that foreshadowing, I guess.
Yeah.
With the wood chipper. And yeah, he kind of gives him enough information of like, oh yeah, there's some guy that, you know, kills people. Maybe it was him. And of course, the next house that he goes to talk to is the party kid house. And at this point is when they all kind of break apart.
Mm-hmm.
We get one kid, one guy and a girl go down to the boat, and then she goes topless water skiing. the one guy gets an arrow to the eye and she gets run over by the boat.
doesn't die from it until
no. she dies on the Yeah. And then she gets stabbed in the head later on. But, yeah. So they're out. The girl who's supposedly dating Trent, goes, you know, I'll help you find your sister. Like, I'll see you guys later.
Yep.
And they leave. So then that leaves like the two stoner kids and then, you know, like sex robot and Trent. So of course, you know, sex robot and Trent, you know, hook up. And then like the two stoner kids are just, you know, being stoner kids.
Yep.
essentially, I think they both of the stoner kids get lured out to the tool shed because they break a chair. And so they both get lured out to the tool shed and they both die in the tool shed, like, alone. And then Trent and the girl are boning. The brother and the girl come back. I'll talk about where they went in a second because I'll just put all that in one thing. So they come back and she, like, obviously they're boning in the room. Like, everybody can hear them boning in the room.
And see them.
and see them through the window. And she, like, comes. This is supposedly the guy that she's dating. She knocks on the door like, "Hey, have you guys seen anybody outside?" And they're like, "No, we're boning. Shut up." And he, like, turns the music up. And she's just like, "Meh, all right." And just, like, no reaction whatsoever. Yep. Like, she does not care at all. It's like, are they really supposed to be dating? Maybe she, like, likes the new guy so much that she's, like, happy that it's happening. I don't know.
It's almost like it's commonplace for him to do this.
Right. Yeah. Like, it's a very bizarre interaction. Yeah, so essentially they both get killed, of course. So then when they were looking for, this happened a little earlier, but again, I'm just going to put it all together. They were looking for the sister and they get to the old Camp Crystal Lake. And they're looking in all, like, the old cabins and stuff. And they end up stumbling upon like a secret passage.
Yeah,
underneath the thing. So they go underneath it and it's like, I don't know, I call them hillbilly tunnels, right? Because it's like, whenever there's hill folk in a movie, they always have weird tunnels.
Yeah.
Always. And so it's like, hill folk tunnel. They go down there, they end up finding Whitney. There's a whole thing of, like, her escaping on her own and then getting away and then getting recaptured. That it's pointless, but
they're not getting killed in the slightest.
Right. You're not getting killed. And again, they kind of allude to the fact, well, I guess they, I'll just tell you that she found a locket in the cabin. And when you open the locket, it's apparently an old picture of Jason's mother. And she looks, like, identical to Jason's mother.
And Jason has picture scratch outs. We don't know what he looks like.
Right. Right. So he won't kill her because she looks like his mom.
But he'll keep her captive.
Keep her chained up for, it was like months at this point. Or no, he said a month. Yeah, it was like he said, she was a little over a month ago, she disappeared. So, so she's been down there for a little over a month. Like, I don't know if this is true or not, but he's, like, keeping the bodies in, like, a room. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he's eating them.
I'm pretty sure, is it? Trust me, on my little side, like, what is he feeding?
Right.
He's happy alive with no food
around. Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think he's eating the people, and he's also giving it to her. But it's, like, a very weird relationship. Like, every time he goes near her, he just, like, violently throws things around and shit, and she's just, like, screaming for help. It's very bizarre. Yeah. But anyway, so we're back down to, she's back chained up, so... Goody Two Shoes girl and brother end up finding her down there. They get her unchained or whatever, and then they running through the fucking tunnels because, of course, Jason comes back and is chasing him through the tunnels. As they're getting chased through the tunnels, Goody Two Shoes girl gets captured and killed.
Yep.
So now it's brother and sister, and they're chasing around. They end up in the barn with the fucking wood chipper. Fight, fight, fight. And of course, Jason gets a chain around his neck and chain gets thrown in the wood chipper. And then he gets dragged in and then the top of his head gets put in the wood chipper. And then she also gets, like, stabbed and shit.
Right. And then they dump his body into the lake.
Right.
And he pops up.
Correct.
Not in the dream sequence, seemingly.
No. But that's it.
Yep.
I don't think there's anything else.
Not really, no. I know I saw this in theaters. You've seen this one, right?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, what is your first thoughts? Like, do you think this is a good return to form after all this crap?
Yeah. I mean, actually, it's like this one is better than I would say, like, at least 80% of the franchise. Like, I mean, seriously, it's better than 4 through 11. You know what I mean? Well, probably better than 3, maybe better than 2. Probably about the same as 2. But yeah, it's interesting. They make it interesting again. Mm-hmm. They got to get rid of all the old horse shit and just start over. Not technically. I mean, it could technically be tied in. We don't know at what point they diverge. It does diverge at some point. Mm-hmm. But it's at what point, we don't know. But it's, yeah, this I feel is much better than the other ones. I was like, actually, like, looking forward to the next one that was supposed to be the sequel to this, and it of course never happened. But again, this movie made me interested in the franchise again.
See, I'm torn with this one. We'll get into that, but to me, like, I like it.
It's don't good. Tell me it's the same reason why people don't like Halloween that Rob Zombie did either.
Oh, we'll get into it. You know, the reason why I don't like this one generally is because Michael Bay. But that's part. But do you want to do your highlights first?
Sure. Okay. Again, they went out of their way to close the continuity gap between one and two, mm-hmm. and I really appreciated that. Like, it's like between one and two, it's like you're left wondering. Like, she was acting like he was dead the whole time, and when she was talking to him, it was her own voice talking back.
Yeah.
She thought he was dead the whole time. In the second movie, he's like living as an adult in the woods.
Yep.
And you're like, okay, so how the fuck did they like not connect? Like, what is that misconnection all about? And in this film, they actually show you what happened. It's like, yeah, she thought he was dead and he, you know, was drowned or whatever. And he came out of the lake and witnessed her getting killed. But before she saw him.
Right, and picks up the machete.
Right.
That was used, yes.
Correct. So it like it closes that continuity gap to where it actually makes sense, which is interesting, right? Okay, one, there's an actual reason why the kids in the beginning are in the forest, right? They're looking for the weed. That's all you need. So many of these movies are just people sitting, like, why are you camping in the middle of the woods by a fucking murder camp?
Yeah.
Like, what is your problem? Night Ranger, Sister Christian, like, you don't hear that song very often. That was great. And I like this kind of new version of Jason. This to me is like, you know, the other movies, he was just like an automaton, right?
Yeah.
He's just like a murder machine that just walks slowly and then murders everything in his path. Mm-hmm. Again, that's fine, but there's so many other slashers that do the same thing. There's nothing interesting about it. There's nothing interesting about most of the slashers. They're just a guy in fucking coveralls with a mask killing people. That's it. Mm-hmm. And this one is like, he's more like malevolent, right? He actually has like some skills. Like, he killed somebody with a fucking bow and arrow, right? It's like, he actually can do things. He's like, he tortures people, right?
He practices hatchet throws too.
Right. Like, but like, he like ties the girl up in the sleeping bag over the fire, traps the dude and makes him watch her slowly cook to death.
Yep.
Like, that shit that he didn't do before. And all the other movies, he just like murder and that's him walk away. That was it. That was all he did. And this one, he's like, you know, fucking with people. He's like making them suffer. Again, this to me makes more sense as somebody who's murdering camp counselors, because he thinks that they, you know, one, let him die, and two, killed his mom. This is how someone would act if those things fucking happened to you. Mm-hmm. Right. So to me, it makes more sense. The Hives, that song was good. I liked it. again, and he wasn't dumb. Like, a lot of the other movies, he's just like, again, an automaton. He's just a dumb guy, you know, like, that easily tricked, easily, you know, easily lured and baited, you know, like, just, you know, mindlessly goes wherever there's something to stab. And this one, yeah, he's not dumb. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's fucked up and disturbed, but there's something behind that mask, right?
Right.
And that's, again, it makes that character that much more interesting. Again, I love the Hillfolk underground lair, with all the traps and alarms and shit like that. Again, that's somebody that's fucking haunting a place that's like murdering people that come near the place. Yes, of course he would have all that shit set up.
Yeah.
And all the other movies, he's just like aimlessly wandering the woods, murdering anything he comes across. But it's like, is he just walking around out there? Mm-hmm. Like, how come nobody has ever seen him? Mm-hmm. I did like that. And again, this movie, the whole, you know, point of what, two, when she just puts on mom's sweater and pretends to be mom, doesn't make sense, right? When she pretends to be his mom in this movie, it does make sense because she at least looks like the mom.
Right.
Right. So again, it closes another continuity hole. Why would Jason think that's his mom just because she's wearing the sweater? She looks nothing like his mom. And in this one, it's like, yeah, she looks like the mom. It makes sense why he would, like, you know, think twice before stabbing her. And I like that. But that's all I got.
Yeah. So, okay. So this is a reboot. I will never call this a remake. In my head canon, this still fits in the timeline as a whole.
Well, here's what I'm going to cut you off, because at some point, sure, at some point this could have branched off and been part of the original continuity, but like not in the later ones. Because none of these people have ever heard of Jason to where, like, in 9, the entire nation knows who Jason is.
I know, but there's also, that's the thing, right? Timeline-wise, in the time of this franchise, it's theoretically possible, right? Because, yes, I agree, people know who Jason Voorhees is, but they may think he's dead, blah, 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 because, you know, Jason Goes to Hell is 2006. This is 2009. It says present day. So it's 2009 in this world. They also established that June 13th, 1980 is the correct date. Most people started this in 1975. Just throwing it out there. I just continue this as a story of Jason before he gets captured by what happens in Jason X in my head.
There's so many things about the character that don't fit with any of the other films.
I just want a franchise that doesn't have a new timeline. That's why I'm putting it all in one.
I mean, it can have a new timeline, but I don't see them all being the same time. Yeah, that's a hell of a stretch.
Yeah, and you know, there's definitely more to Jason in this movie. He's actually a lot more brutal too.
Right,
as you said, torturing people, that is new levels of murder. You know what I mean? Trapping the guy in the bear trap, watching it burn, all that stuff. You know, the unexpected final girl. You don't expect, the first time you see this, you don't expect the girl from the first part to be alive, let alone to survive to the end. And the one that we think is the final girl, it actually isn't. She dies. You know, which is a just interesting, I think, different take to it.
Yeah, right. It's very rare when the goody two shoes girl that does not have sex in the film dies.
Yeah, she didn't have sex. She didn't drink. She didn't smoke. She did nothing.
Right.
And she dies. So like I said, it's interesting. I don't know. I understand what they're trying to do with the ending. You know, is this a real ending or is it a dream? You know, it's an homage, but it's not. I like to know if it was real or not.
If you're looking for real answers in this franchise, you're way too late.
You said the sequel that never came, kind of wish that there was one to explain that. As you said, some of the songs were really good. I'll roll my little points. You know, Michael Bay, the Trent and the Stoner Kids, the caricatures of people were in this heavily. Don't like that.
Wait, what?
I know.
Every fucking movie in this franchise has the same fucking shit. And you're going to call out this movie and not like the one before this?
You're right. They did have the characters too. I just don't like Trent a lot. I don't like Rose.
I don't either. He's on my list as not liking him. But yeah. You're going to call out the Stoner Kids? They literally been a Stoner Kid in every movie in this entire franchise.
Well, here's the thing that doesn't make sense with them. If you find in the middle of nowhere a farm of weed and you're worried about country folk, they're gonna shoot you.
Well, again, it's never said how they know that.
Yeah.
And again, that's a thing that people do, is they will go out in the middle of the woods, plant a whole shit ton of weed out there, and then leave and come back like 6 months later.
Yeah.
To pick it up. And they're hoping that, again, that they're the only people who know about. And it might have been, you know, somebody that they knew did that, or maybe they did it. It's never said as to why. They have the GPS location of it, so it kind of leads me to believe that it was either them or somebody they knew very well.
Yeah. I would just be worried about going and stealing that weed.
Well, again, I don't think they were stealing it. I think it was theirs. I think that either they planted it or someone they know planted it, and they were going to pick it up for them.
Yeah. This is... You can tell Michael Bay's name's attached to this because there's lens flares at night.
Don't you know, everybody night. Yeah, everybody always talks about lens flares. I don't really notice them that much.
This is egregious.
No, J.J. Abrams is way worse.
I mean, that's true, too.
Anything J.J. Abrams does, there's a lens flare in like every fucking scene. It'd like Michael Bay is known for explosions. How many explosions are in this movie?
Yeah.
If you're gonna make fun of Michael Bay, make fun of Michael Bay the right way.
I would say I'm not saying the kills are lame, but they were not as robust. They weren't necessarily there for the kills. The kills were pretty tame for the most part, for most of them. Just pretty much knife, which is fine. I felt like,
what about the arrow? You don't like the arrow?
I did like that. I don't know. In my head, you know, I know you like your hillbilly tunnels, but I feel like this was a way for them to explain his teleportation.
Probably, yeah.
Trying to make it more grounded. I don't know if I agree that he'd have those tunnels, but it is interesting.
Well, if you live in a fucking camp for like 2 decades, you might build hillbilly tunnels too.
And what's interesting to me, if you would have replaced Jason Voorhees with Leatherface, it almost fit this movie too.
That's all of these movies. That's what I'm always saying is Jason and like Michael Myers, they're like cut and paste.
Yeah.
They're like the same fucking guy. There's like, again, Leatherface is the same way. Leatherface at least is like insane.
Right.
But like, you know, at least most of the time it's just this, again, an automaton. They don't talk. There's no interaction. They just walk and stab. And that's it. There's nothing. And then sometimes they die and sometimes they don't. And they always come back. That's it. That's the thing. There's nothing behind them. There's no story behind them, which to me is boring as shit. I don't like that. It's cool a couple times, but if you do it like fucking 12 times, it's not fun for me. I know people love the fucking franchise and can't get enough of it. To me, it's fucking boring. Like I lost interest around 4.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't do this anymore.
But to me, like I said, though, it just feels like they watched the new Texas Chainsaw in the early 2000s and go, let's do that with Jason Voorhees.
Yeah, and that, what's wrong with that? The Texas Chainsaw around this time was great.
I know, but it's just weird because like, they had like the old people, you know, the crazy hill folks. They're like, he just wants to be left alone. No.
Well, this is them telling themselves that, you know, because they don't want to live with themselves knowing that there's a murder in the woods and they did nothing about it.
I know, but it's like it feels like anyone that has come that lives close to that damn lake gets killed regardless. So.
Sure, that's why they don't go there.
Yeah, that's true. So that's what I have. How about you?
Okay, we're talking low points here. So, of course, the blonde jerk rich guy sucks. Like, he brings people out to the cabin, and then he's yelling at him. He's like, you can't drink in the house. Like, what the fuck?
Don't touch my stuff, man. That's my favorite remote.
Yeah, I'm like, what the why did you invite these people over if you're gonna literally freak out that they're drinking in the living room when you brought the beer?
And to that point, I think he deserved to die way worse.
Right. I mean, the guy was just an asshole. I'm like, that's the kind of thing, like, if that shit happened to me, I would just, I'm leaving. I'm gonna go find a hotel somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, and that dude was about to crank it in the living room.
Yes, he was.
You don't crank it in public areas when other people are around, okay? Common areas are off limits. Everybody knows that.
Not him.
Apparently not. Yeah, again, like, everybody's sitting around, and he's just gonna crank it in the fucking living room. Like, what the hell is wrong with you? And his friend is, like, supposed to be back in, like, 30 seconds.
Yep.
Dear Lord. And again, like, yeah, Jenna, the Goody Two Shoes girl, like, does not give a shit at all that her boyfriend is boning somebody else. She just, like, a shrug. Yeah, she's just like, eh, yeah. See you later. I'm going to go hang out with my new boyfriend.
Yep.
Which I thought was weird. That's all I know.
All right. You want me to go first?
So, yeah, sure, why not? How many Barnyard Weapons out of 10 would you give Friday the 13th from 2000?
I mean, you're not wrong. This is the best one in quite some time. I will give this 7 Barnyard Weapons out of 10. How about you?
Yeah, that's up to, I mean, I'm going to give it, I'll do 7.5.
Okay, cool.
Anything else you want to add in there?
No. it's rough for me to, Friday the 13th, I try to do it like all within a couple of days, and it's rough, but having this gone through this franchise analytically like this is weird and hard for me, because I thought I generally loved this franchise, but
welcome to Y World. I have to judge everything based on its merit, and that's what I'm saying. Like, all of these horror movies never pass.
Oh, now I actually had to like use my brain, not turn it off, to enjoy the movies. They hit differently.
That's for sure.
So I'm glad we're done this franchise, right?
Yeah, no shit. Goodbye, August.
Yeah.
All right. So next week, we're finally doing another actor spotlight. And no, it's not Kevin Bacon again. I know we did two Kevin Bacon episodes for some reason. But I like Kevin Bacon, so who cares?
I don't know if we have another Kevin Bacon able to be done. I'm sure we do.
I'm sure we could stretch and find him, but well, we did all the good ones anyway. And this time it's Bruce Campbell. I know Graveyard's going to be very happy about that. He may or may not have picked that. So this time it's Bruce Campbell and some of his not Evil Dead horror performances. So if the chin doesn't kill you, making love the Bruce Campbell way certainly will. See, that's a joke for Graveyard, because that's the name of his books that he wrote.
It is.
Aha, it's funny. So join us next week for Mind Warp, Bubba Hotep, and The Woods.
And you've only seen one of those?
Yeah. I think I know I've seen Bubba Hotep. I know I haven't seen Mind Warp. I don't think I saw The Woods.
Do you know who made The Woods?
No.
You don't?
I don't believe so.
I'm pretty sure it's, I believe it's Lucky.
Lucky McKee?
It is.
All right. I might have seen it. I honestly don't remember. I will find out. It'll be one of those ones I have to watch the first 5 minutes and I'll know if I've seen it or not. But Mind Warp, I'm almost positive I have not seen.
Yeah, probably not.
But remember, we watch bad movies so you don't have to.
And this has been Graveyard saying, have you checked on the children?
And this is Salem saying, long live the new flesh.